Christmas mood. Let's sing together. Come on. Go tell it. to adore him by continuing to worship him. Just worship. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
Thank you. All right, you guys know this song. Sing it out.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see the beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor.
Let's worship.
And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I'll never know.
And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sinner on that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sinner on that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
And here I am to watch, here I am bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated this time as we move on to our last week of our candle, and that candle is peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Please watch this video.
The waters are raging.
this chaos will cease. Come silence the waves of our worry and fear. Will you come? Will you come? Bring us peace. Come, oh, come, Emmanuel. Come, oh, come, Emmanuel. Come, oh, come, Emmanuel. Come, oh, come, Emmanuel. All these waves would obey you if you just speak the word. So we wait in the silence for your peace here on earth. Come, oh, come, Emmanuel. Send your peace.
Lord God, as we recognize that this is the last week of Advent where we recognize peace, that we look around our world and we recognize there seems to be absolutely no peace around and maybe not even within us. So God, we ask that you calm those stormy seas within us as we seek your calling and your direction on our lives. So Father, right now, as we also lift up and ask for your blessing to be upon your tithe and offering, from those of us who look at this as our church, and we give not to stay here, but to be a blessing to so many others. Lord, we thank you that you will multiply that further, your kingdom here and around the world. For those who are visiting today, you're a guest, and we thank God that you're here, and we don't expect any of this from you, but God, we just pray that your anointing be upon these gifts and further your kingdom here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to just please stand. I know it's a little unorthodox during offering, but please stand during this time as we sing this great song, one of my favorite always in Christmas time, O Come, Emmanuel.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel.
O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes of Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud and majesty and awe.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, come to thee, O Israel. Come to thee, O Israel.
Oh, come, Emmanuel.
May be seated. And at this time, our children go ahead and head on out, and everybody else say hello to each other, one another.
Good job, Jake. Great job, buddy. That sounded awesome. That sounded fantastic.
Scripture today is Matthew 2, 1 through 3, and Matthew 2, 9 through 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Can you believe, am I on? Can you believe it? Here we are, a couple days before Christmas, huh?
Wow.
Can you hear me? Andy, am I on? Okay, you can hear me? Otherwise, I'll have to go sit next to you, so that won't work. All right, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now. We have a couple things. Let's start with a praise. It's always good to start with a praise. Anna is a new aunt that Catherine had her baby yesterday. Mom and baby are doing well, and just pray that she'll get to leave the NICU today. And so we're thankful for that. And I know Bobby doesn't like being a grandmother or anything like that. So we're thrilled for that. We also want to lift up the family of Margie Bochelle. I lifted her up for prayer last week. You may have seen Margie passed away this week and went on to be with the Lord at 95 years young. And if anybody knows Margie, you know I truly mean 95 years young. Sweetheart of a lady. And so be asked for prayers with the entire family there. We also want to lift up Danny McCoy. Danny's grew up in this area, was a good friend, very close to our family and several other people here. Danny's been battling cancer, and he is going to be going on hospice, and he's 53 years old. So we want to continue to lift Dan and your family and his family in prayers as we enter into this area. So let's go to the Lord in prayer right now for these and other things. Heavenly Father, as we journey toward the manger, as people say in church, Lord, we want to look at several things. But we recognize that in this journey that all things are not just as they seem. That even though we have festive, merry, and bright, we have those who have experienced an incredible loss of someone that they love dearly, and that Christmas isn't going to be the same. We have another person who is always a symbol of strength and everything else, and now this horrific disease is inflicting his body. So we ask for you to be with Danny's family and his friends, that as he battles this, God, we know you have the final say on us all, but we just pray for your healing and restoration to be upon his body and his life. For anyone else here today, Lord, as for many of us, we're excited about the aspect of getting together and celebrating Christmas. But for others, this tends to be a very depressed time. We ask that your Holy Spirit be with them, that, Lord, you may make yourself more real to them than you ever have been in your entire life, and that in their entire life, that, God, you may make yourself known, and that they may see that you came for them, and that, Lord, whatever happens with all those who may be in our service this week, celebrating Christmas Eve, whatever it may be, Lord, just reach out and let people know that they are loved. For this and all things, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. All right, welcome again. We are in the final week of Christmas at the Movies. Have you enjoyed this series at all? Anybody enjoyed this? How many of you watched one of these movies a couple times? Right? Anybody watch them? Okay. I still love these movies, barely right now, because I've watched them a billion times. I think my favorite is Elf. I don't know why. It's just demented. I love it. But it is fantastic. So a couple of things. We want to welcome anybody who's visiting with us today. Welcome. Just relax. Have a great time. We're glad that you're here. We want to welcome church online and glad that you're with us too. I do want to go over a couple announcements that this Christmas Eve, we will have our Christmas Eve service at 7:30. Okay. What time is it? You're going to call me and say, is it 7 or what? Right, 7:30. Come as you are. If you're baking cookies and you got powder. You get it. Whatever. I don't bake cookies. I cut slice them off. But whatever you're doing with your cookies, come and bring yourself here, all right? Anyway, it's a long week, trust me. But we want to go ahead and just want to open up. Bring people with you. Love to have visitors and people be with us as we just celebrate. Just time to stop things. It's geared for our kids as well, whole families. You'll have a good time. We've done some wild things on that night. We've done some impromptu. Some of you might remember several years ago, we did an impromptu manger scene, which some people are begging me to do again. Other people are saying, I'm not coming I'm going to stay way back. But either way, we've had some fun. And in case you don't know, kids are really excited at this time. It's just great to hear what they have to say. So, sometimes with everything else that goes around in the world, it's good to just stop and see Christmas through the eyes of a kid and to recognize that they don't lose sight of Jesus in this, all right, many times, even though they want their stuff, all right? So plan to be here and bring somebody with you, and you can read the other information about Parish Foundation and prayer request. We want to continue to go ahead and do those. If you have a prayer request, you can submit them either here or you can do that online, and we will be glad, thrilled to go ahead and have that work out. Okay, everybody good? All right, very good. All right, so like I said, we are in week 4. week four of our Christmas at the Movie series, and week one was Elf. Remember? And our theme was kind of joy. We were talking about joy. And you remember what was the joy that Buddy the Elf had? I know him. And we were talking about how we can have an intense joy if we really know Christ. And we can say, I know him, and that should shape everything else. The fact that we know the Savior of the world should shape everything else. And then we kind of went to the other side of this. We went to the Grinch. Remember? The Grinch. And we started talking about hope. And things that existed there. And we saw that he allowed his heart to grow. Because a lot of times in our life, we have hurt and we have other things that kind of press down all that hurt and shrink our heart. But once he felt connected and part of things, his heart grew. Last week, you all got a ticket, didn't you? You all got a ticket. And we talked about the Polar Express. And we all talked about believe or having faith when we don't know. When we can't just trust on anything, faith is being sure of what we hoped for and certain of what we do not see. And that's totally different than the world tells us, isn't it? The world says seeing is believing. But in Christ, our faith is believing is seeing. And so time and time again. And so what a better way to finish off this week than to go to our movie and talk about love. And we're going to talk about, in case you haven't figured out yet, A Christmas Story. A Christmas Story. Another one of those. Yes, you will shoot your eye out is what we're going to talk about. And when we look at this, Christmas is really all about love. And I'm not talking about that fuddy-duddy, you know, like I've had enough of the Lexus commercials to last me a lifetime. Have you? What's better than getting a Lexus for Christmas? Buying one for somebody else. Of course it is if you got enough money to do that, right? So, but that's not love, is it? Buying stuff, that's not. That's what advertising and things want to tell us. And for some of you, I mentioned the word love and you get a little bit nervous because maybe you've had some interesting experiences around that term love, right? You've had some relationships that maybe not worked out very well. You get to emotion, and around this time, you're afraid somebody, when you talk about love, somebody's going to come up with some mistletoe and plant one right on your mouth. Some of you may be hoping that. You may be in the back going, here I am, as you leave. Whatever it may be, whatever floats your boat. But real love is not about infatuation, and it's not about feelings. It's about a relationship commitment. And this is what we're talking about around this season, that the whole Christmas story and the whole Christmas narrative is that God loved us so much. Remember John 3:16? God loved, so he gave. All right. Now, you have people in your life that you love, so you give presents to, but God loved the world. God loved people who didn't love him. God still loves people who don't give a hill of beans about him, so much so that he gave his one and only begotten son. That is the crux of this whole message. It's not about sheep and shepherds and wise guys and Mary and Joseph and angels that we get. Yeah, that's all important. But the most important thing is Jesus, who came into this world for one purpose, out of love, so that he could grow, that he could teach, and that he could live and die for you and me and for our sins. And so what we learn is the nature of God is love. As we look at this verse from 1 John, John 3:16 was written by John, and 1 John was written by John. And look what he says here. Beloved, let us do what? Love one another. For love comes from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And he goes on to say this. God is love. Is what he continues on to say this. God is love in verse 8 of this chapter. In other words, love comes from God. God wants us to love one another. And why? Because love is not an attribute of God. God is love. So when we experience this love, we experience God. When we pass that on to one another, we pass on the love of God to each other. And so Jesus and God had this whole, and the Holy Spirit had this great plan that I am going to pour out my love on you. God says, I'm going to send my son because God so that he gave his son. And that when he does that, at the end, he's asked several times, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, what we receive, this is what Paul said, what I have received, I have passed on to you as of first importance. And so when we talk about love, I'm reminded of a story of two men, Bill and Steve. And Bill and Steve were discussing the possibility of love.
And Bill says, I thought I was in love three times. Steve said, thought? What do you mean? He said, well, 3 years ago, I cared deeply for a woman who wanted nothing to do with me. Wasn't that love? No, that was obsession, Bill said. He said, but 2 years ago, I cared deeply for an attractive woman who didn't understand me. Wasn't that love? Steve said, and Bill replied, no, that was lust. And just last year, I met a woman while I was on a cruise. She was gorgeous. She was intelligent. She was a great conversationalist. She had a super sense of humor. And everywhere I followed her on that ship, I would feel a very strange sensation in the pit of my stomach. Well, wasn't that love? Asked Steve. And he said, no, that was motion sickness. Right. So sometimes I don't want you to get motion sickness and love all confused here today. And so we're going to look at the fact that God loves. And what this verse and verse 8 tells us is a couple things. That God is love. That's who he is. And so God calls and compels us to love by loving one another. But all love comes from God. And that's the nature of God. And that's how we should also be when we look at this. Why? Because I'm going to make a statement here, and then I'm going to back it up. That's what preachers do. What we have here is simply this. We are wired to love. In your nature, you are geared to love. And you say, how do you mean, Jack? Well, let's be honest here. Some of us may love wrongly. Some of us may love wrongly. We may love the wrong things. Anybody, like, really love the wrong things in life? Don't worry, this in Catholicism, you're not going to have to confess, okay? All right? But what I'm saying is that you may have been so passionate about something that was just wrong for you. Or we may confuse love with other types of things, with infatuation, with obsession, with lust, whatever else. Has anyone ever thought you loved the wrong person? Or let's put it this way. Do you know someone who may have loved the wrong person? Okay. All right. Good. All right. That means you. All right. Have you ever been in love with something extracurricular? Like, I mean, really in love with something extracurricular. I am going to be very elated or heartbroken later today because of my intense love for this green football team up a little bit north, about an hour. All right? So I'm getting ready for my heart to be broken, but it better not be, all right? So what I'm saying is there, I have this intense insanity, right, that exists for a football game, okay? That's me, and that's one of the things that I do. Or I've seen some people who are so intense about all kinds of extracurricular things that becomes the thing that they love. Other people may be so in love with your career or with a status or with something else or just being busy that you get so focused on that. And you're wired to love, so we can love the wrong things. But you say, Jack, how do I know that we're wired that way? Because that's how we're created. Look at the person next to you and say, you're created to love. All right, now look here. Here's what it says in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind, humanity, in our, what, image? In our likeness. What did we say? God is? We are created in the image and likeness of God, therefore we are? There you go. Isn't that hard to believe in this world? Have you been down the road? Have you stepped in front of somebody or tried to take their parking spot lately? We don't see that often because in some ways we've lost sight of the connection that we have with the love of God the Father and recognize that God the Father has a love that he loved so much that he gave. All right? And there we should as well. We are created in God's image. And when we allow this connection to God, we receive God's greatest gift of love that we have altogether. Today I have a couple verses. I have a lot of verses, but we're going to talk about the three wise men a little bit, okay? It's the main verse today. There's somebody who once said, if it had been three wise women, they would have stopped and asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought disposable diapers, not other gifts they can't use. All right? Right? So, right? There you go. All right. But anyway, so I digress. But we're going to talk a little bit about that because really, this little tidbit is a story of two types of love. We have the, well, actually there's three. There's God's love displayed in Jesus, and that's all through it. But we have the wise men who have a love commitment to travel to see the Christ child. And then we have Herod, King Herod, who has a different type of love, a love that is a little warped and misdirected in this area. And look at this verse when it says here from Matthew. Let's look what the verse says first. It says, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is he who was born king of the Jews? When they saw a star in the east, and they came to worship it. And look at this section here. When King Herod heard the news, he was disturbed. Have you ever heard of news that disturbs you? Everyone, every day? All right. So somebody's on Facebook, okay? But there are things that disturb you. You hear, like there's things that you just hear. At times I've heard of things that there's a loss of someone, and I'm just like, it doesn't settle well with me. Or sometimes, how many of you have ever been disturbed maybe at a job when you've done all the work and somebody else slides in and gets the promotion? Does that disturb you a little bit? And what I've learned about, most of the time, it's because something disturbs me because it doesn't settle well with me. Keep in mind, for years and years, from Isaiah and from the moment of Adam and Eve, God had promised to make all this stuff right. And that's what the people, the Israelites, had looked for. And here it was. And the wise men left and went on this journey and said, hey, this is what we're going to look at. But King Herod, Herod the Great, was disturbed when he saw this and he heard this. You see, what he had was something called love that was misdirected and misguided. And that's what brings us to our movie today, A Christmas Story. How many have ever seen A Christmas Story? All right? Good old Ralphie. Which, interestingly enough, as I mentioned last week, he is also in Elf. He's one of the elves, okay, at the beginning. So you have to look for him. But here it is. This is a story that was put out, a low-budget film, in 1983, and it was only in theaters for a few weeks. Many people thought it would just go by the wayside and be another one that was on the shelf. It was based, the writer and director, who also was the narrator throughout the movie, heard a radio program about a kid sticking his tongue to a pole. And it shaped everything from then on. And he actually was going on a date, and he rode around the block and was 45 minutes late for his date because he was so captivated by this story. But when it originally came out, it didn't have much acclaim. Here is this young boy named Ralphie who is obsessed with this present to get a Red Ryder BB gun. He tries to manipulate and tries to do anything. He has a father who all we know him as is the old man, who is grumpy and gruff and fights with a furnace and Bumpus's dogs next door. A mother who is of this time, who kind of is there, but she's trying to keep the peace and keep a family going. He has a little brother who's a little bit crazy, right? He has friends who are doing all kinds of things. He has bullies in the neighborhood. He tries to manipulate his way so he can have this. His whole life is focused toward this one gift. And what I've learned in life is and I'm going to share with you first a couple things with when our love is misguided. When our love is misguided, sometimes we may go overboard. Like if you've ever been in love, you go overboard a little bit. Okay? Anybody ever had somebody who likes you and that they go a little bit overboard with letting you know that? Like for instance, if you're standing to get something to eat and you turn around and they're like, right here? You're like, huh? Right? You know, they're trying to do everything. And sometimes, parents, don't we do this? Sometimes we love our kids so much, we go a little bit overboard, don't we? Well, in this movie, it's no different. And let's look at this case here, where Ralphie's mom is going a little bit overboard with his little brother.
Oh, preparing to go to school was like getting ready for extended deep sea diving.
Thank you.
kid brother looked like a tick about to pop.
What? What is it? What is it? Oh. What is it?
I can't put my arms out.
Put your arms down when you get to school.
How many of you can relate to those days that you're thankful for Under Armour cold gear, right? Remember layering? How many parents, moms said, layer up? How many of you told your kids? How many did that to your kids, right? So you're layered. Did she go a little bit overboard? Yes, of course she did. And in most of these cases, she meant right by it, right? But she went a little bit overboard in this area. Herod's misdirected love went from the love of God that the people had hoped for, went from the love of God that the three wise men were seeking, and it became totally misdirected. What we know about Herod the Great is his love was totally misdirected. It was on the wrong person. It wasn't on God and others. It was on him. As a matter of fact, what we learn about Herod is he was so afraid of somebody doing something and taking his reign that he murdered three of his own sons and one of his wives, Merimee. He was going to murder his mother-in-law as well, and he just took people out of the way because his love was for himself and his own power and his own authority, so much so that when, you guys know the rest of the story, when the wise men didn't return, he sent soldiers to kill all male infants, two and under. You talk about a misguided love. Love was there, but it was in the wrong place. And when we get love out of focus and redirected, it can be and bring about some bad things. I have been around church all my life, and I have known people who have loved God, but mostly they've loved stuff in the church. They've loved where they're at. They love what mission or what passion that they have over everybody else. I said, this is probably the most giving church I've ever been a part of. And I've seen that. And I have people that just don't feel like they can connect and love like they should. Because one thing or another seems to be more important. I've had people that over my years in ministry that have professed to love God and yet their lives never displayed one ounce of that in each and every day. That their love was misguided, that the first thing that comes along, whether it's to go ahead and make a commitment or serve God or to be part with the Lord, they go to the next thing that comes about in the midst of those things. We often go overboard in our lives and we send our love way too many other areas rather than refocusing on God. It's kind of like in many times we say, well, God, you're always there, and so we're going to be there for you're going to be there for us. You said you never leave us or forsake us, but then we need to reciprocate that as well in our lives and in our communities and in every single area that we exist in. And so the first thing is we go overboard. But one of the other things that a misguided or misdirected love will do, it will lead you to do harmful and dumb things. Now, let me ask this question. Has anybody ever done anything wrong because of love? Anybody? All right. I think many of us have done something in our lives that we said, what in the world was I thinking? Like, if you could go back and talk to your 18-year-old self, those of you who are a little bit older than 18, what would you say, good job, keep on that path? Many of us would say, come here, we need to talk. Okay? We want to do a little back to the future kind of thing there. But there's some things about our lives that we just did and we were like, what in the world was I thinking? And that's what happens when our love gets misdirected. In most cases, that love when misdirected leads us down a path. There's a story in this part. I already shared a little bit about it, but I want to share with you. Here are some friends. They're arguing over stupid things. How many have friends that argue over stupid things? They're arguing over whether his tongue would freeze to a pole or not. Let's take a look.
You're full of beans and so's your old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I double dare you.
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's because you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
like double dog dare you.
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you.
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right.
Julie.
I'm going.
Flick's spine stiffened, his lips curled in a defiant sneer. There was no going back now.
This is next.
If you have ever done anything dumb, okay? And when you find out the ones who want you to do, who want to test that out and you do it, they're gone when it hits the road, right? They're gone when your tongue is stuck, right? That's where you are. Often when we get into doing to misguided love, to misguided actions, we end up with our tongue stuck along a pole somewhere or just caught up in something. So often, we get caught up in so many things that we love. We get caught up in our achievements. We get caught up in our jobs. We get caught up in all kinds of life situations, lots of kinds of immorality, all because we have a misguided love and a misguided focus. So many times, we end up in situations. You know how many times I've spoken with people, and they say time and time again to me, some people repeatedly, and they'll say, I don't know why this always happens to me. And I say, because you keep doing dumb things. Your love is misguided. You know, scripture, that's why it says this, and I love this verse from here, from Proverbs. It says, the mouth of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives, or in this case, their tongue, right? Sometimes we just go ahead, and we talk so much about why we're in the situation that we don't stop to realize that we've misguided our direction in life by what we love and what we commit to in life. You see, but this case is not the only one in A Christmas Story about a misguided focus of love. As I said, the old man was always kind of brash, always kind of gruff. But he filled out a crossword puzzle one day, and he was going for $50,000. He got a telegram from Western Union that he won. Not the big prize, but he won something. And let's take a look.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
I think that says fragile.
Oh boy. Would you look at that? Holy smoke, would you? Do you know what this is? This is a lamp.
It was indeed a lamp.
Isn't that great? What a great lamp.
I don't know.
Hold it. Hold it, here, come on.
The old man's eyes boggled.
Oh, wow.
Overcome by art.
And I know just the place for it. Right in the middle of our front room window. It's all right. This goes to the radio. This goes to the... This goes, Well, it's just one too many.
The snap of a few sparks, a quick whiff of ozone, and the lamp blazed forth in unparalleled glory.
Oh, look at that! Will you look at that? Isn't that glorious? It's indescribably beautiful. It reminds me of the 4th of July. Turn off all the lights. I want to see what it looks like from the street.
I'll go get the dining. Couldn't we talk this over?
All right, here you go. There you go, right there. You're jealous, aren't you? Right? I was going to get the bigger one, but I'm not spending $200, so just let you know. But hey, here it is. Isn't it awesome? You see, if you can't see back there, here you go. All right. So what was it? You know, when we have our love focused on something, nobody goes out and says, "Hi, gosh, that would look perfect in the front window." Right? But look at this father. He loses all sense of reality. He's overcome with how much he loves this, not because of what it is. He makes excuses for what it is time and time again, but because he won this thing. You could probably be giving it away if it wasn't for this movie at this point. But look at what he does. Before he comes home with the Western Union telegram, "Woo! I won, I won, I won." He opens up the crate. He's throwing stuff all around the place. He pulls it out and goes, "Yes, I know the perfect place." It was not the perfect place, am I right? But he put it right there. He's dancing around. He even has a fire risk. It almost burns down his house. For that right there. You see, we often shut out good counsel. The whole time his wife's like, "Can we talk about this?" And he's like just shutting her out because he was in love with what he had and what he got. And so many times in our life, we're so in love with stuff that we get that we don't realize it looks pretty bad. It's pretty junky. It's not what we think it is. It's not what we feel. Our feelings will deceive us. You look at that and you go, "Uh-uh. Can we talk about this?" And we shut it out. That's why it says here in Proverbs 11:14, "Without good direction, people lose their way." Day and day, I run into people who lose their way in this life because they've lost direction or they completely shut it out. The more wise counsel you follow, the better the chances. There are times in my life where I've talked to several people about the same thing over and over again, but they never want to go ahead and take the advice and move on. Because what also happened with him is that he and Ralphie were very similar, father and son. They got consumed by something. The old man was consumed with his prize, this lovely leg lamp. And Ralphie was consumed with a Red Ryder BB gun. A Red Ryder carbine action, 200 shot, range model, air rifle. That's all he thought about. In his paper for school, that's what he thought about. When everywhere he went, when he was watching Little Orphan Annie, he thought about it. He thought about it all the time. He would daydream about killing Black Bart and everything. Let's see how he tried to get that with people by talking about this here with his parents at breakfast.
"Meanwhile, I struggled for exactly the right BB gun hit. It had to be firm, but subtle.
Flex says he saw some grizzly bears near Pulaski's candy store.
They looked at me as if I had lobsters crawling out of my ears. I could tell I was in imminent danger of overplaying my hand. Casually, I switched tactics."
"I'll bet you never guess what I got you for Christmas."
"A new furnace."
"That's a good one, Dad."
My old man was one of the most feared furnace fighters in northern Indiana.
"Hurry up, you're gonna be late for school."
Yeah, I'm running late already."
Round one was over. Parents won. Kids, zip. I could feel the Christmas noose beginning to tighten. Maybe what happened next was inevitable.
"Ralphie, what would you like for Christmas?"
Horrified, I heard myself blurt it out.
"I want an official Red Ryder carbon action 200 range ball air rifle."
No. Shoot your eye out.
Oh, no. It was the classic mother BB gun block. You'll shoot your eye out. That deadly phrase uttered many times before by hundreds of mothers was not surmountable by any means known to kiddom. But such was my mania, my desire for a Red Ryder carbine, that I immediately began to rebuild the dike.
I was just kidding. Even though Flick is getting one. I guess I just like some Tinker Toys.
I couldn't believe my own ears. Tinker Toys? She'd never buy it.
BB guns are dangerous. I don't want anybody shooting his eye out.
Ralphie is so consumed with this right here. Here's what he's consumed by. A Red Ryder BB gun. This is what makes his whole life appear to be better. This is what he wants more than anything. He sees it. He's even telling him that his friend's getting it. This is what was the total focus of his life. No, it's empty. Trust me, okay? This is what he wanted more than anything. This was it. This thing here got everything. Even to the point that he wants to lie and steal and do whatever he can to get it. He tells Mom, I'm just joking. How about some Tinker Toys? Tinker Toys, right? He didn't want Tinker Toys. He wanted this. He wanted this more than anything. But he was so consumed by it. And love misguided gets consumed time and time again. He fantasized about it. He talked about it. He dreamt about it, and you name whatever. And we get so consumed about the wrong things in life and over things that it clouds our judgment. It clouds everything we do. And we keep hearing people that tell us, you'll shoot your eye out. Some of you got nervous when I pulled this out and thought I was going to shoot your eye out. But that's what happens. We get so focused on that part, on shutting that out. Oh no, my mother was doing the thing moms do. And a lot of times we get so committed and so misguided that we lose sight of what we really need to give our love to. I'm going to jump in James. James chapter 4 says this. Ralphie does everything to get around all the statements. He dreams about writing a paper where everybody else gets C's and his teacher reads about his Red Ryder BB gun and she goes, A, plus, plus, plus. It's the greatest thing I've ever read. And he's applauded and lifted up. And he has these dreams, these delusions of grandeur. And we often ignore what other people say. Because in James it says, you desire but you can't have. When we can't have something that we desire, that we want so much, what do? He said, you kill. You covet but you can't get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You don't have because you don't ask God. We don't ask God with the right motives, with the right things. A lot of times we treat God like this heavenly Santa Claus that we give him our list and we say, give me. That's not who God is. God says, first of all, I want you to give me something, your life and your heart, because I gave you something. I love so much that I gave you my son. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have our eternal life. You see, one of the things about being consumed with something is that it will eventually consume us. When we are so consumed by something, it will eventually take over. Ralphie wanted this so much that it took over his entire life. His entire life. And the sad thing is, once something consumes you, it will let you down. It will fail you time and time again. Whether it's a job, whether it's a sport, whether it's a talent, whether it's a person. There are so many times on earth that we take and put our faith in something other than God, and it leaves us wanting and leaves us down. Ralphie was so committed to this that when everybody around him said no, he said, I'm going over everybody's head, and I'm going to the big guy. I'm going to Santa. Let's take a look.
Ho, ho, ho!
Come on!
Come on up there. Ho!
The store's closing.
Come on. Listen, little boy, we've got a lot of people waiting here, so get going.
What do you want for Christmas, little boy?
My mind had gone blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing it.
Come on, kid. How about a nice football? What's a football?
Without conscious will, my voice squeaked out,
football. Okay, get him out of here.
A football? Oh, no. What was I doing? Wake up, stupid. Wake up. No.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
When we put our faith in anything else or anyone else, and we have our misguided direction, we're going to end up with that face that Ralphie had, sliding down and laying there and saying, what's next? You see, that's how the rich young ruler was. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. It's in your bulletin. But the rich young ruler was a young guy. He was a good guy. He had everything. People in the town said, he gives to the poor. He does all kinds of awesome things. He is a godly man. And he came to Jesus and he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? You see, he had followed all the rules and the regulations. He was a good man. He was a religious man. He was a good Jewish boy and did all the things. Jesus said, hey, have you followed the laws of Moses? Have you done this? He said, those all I've done. He was looking for this. I've done them all. How can I get that gift? And Jesus said to him this right here. If you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor and you'll have treasures in heaven. And then follow me. You see, he had crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. But there was something that was missing in his life because something he loved more than he loved God. You couldn't see it on the surface, but Jesus went right to the heart of the matter. For many of us, we have our eyes on something different than the prize of Jesus Christ. And one of the saddest verses in Scripture is this next one that says this. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great possessions or wealth. You see, he had put his faith in those things and was able to do some good things with them, but it was the thing that kept him away from receiving the invitation Christ has for his life. Let me ask you a question today. How many of you recognize that you have an invitation from Jesus on your life? And he's saying, here it is. And we keep asking the same questions. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? He says, you need to give me your life. You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And you need to come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden and broken. And I'm going to give you rest and I'm going to give you peace and I'm going to show you what I mean when I say I love you. You see, for many of us, it may be if God has given us that invitation through Christ, it may be a job, it may be a relationship. We may work so much now that we can't follow God's call, that we put the blessing over the blesser, much like the rich young ruler did. Some of us may have prayed for a relationship so much, and we prayed and prayed, and then we got this relationship, and it became that relationship we got our eyes misguided on, that it kept us away from loving God the way we need to. Or we prayed so much for kids, and we prayed so much for kids, and we have them baptized or dedicated or whatever else, and we talked about the joy of the Lord, but then we get them involved in so much stuff that they never are even in the body of Christ at all. And these kids that we prayed for that were the blessings from God, we now connect to the blessing and not the blesser who gave them to us. See, that was the heart of the rich young ruler. And so what do we need to do in our remaining time together? We need to get love aligned. We need to get loved aligned because we've been talking about a Christmas story, not the Christmas story. You see, the Christmas story, God aligned love perfectly with us. In Matthew 2, as we talked about, the wise men had love aligned. They heard the king, and the king said, go tell me where they are so I can come worship him too. And it says they went, and when they went their way, the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. Can you imagine that? Some scholars have said it was at least 40 days after Jesus was born. Others have said it could have been up to 2 years. And they got to that place where the star was, and they were pumped up. Like, yes! Finally, we're here. You see, they kept their eyes on the prize, which was Jesus. And it says here, And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And what did? They bowed down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Just to let you know, a lot of us look at that, and there's been many people who've tried to figure out what those gifts were. Do you know that the journey that they took and the gifts that they gave, many scholars believe, and I tend to agree too, allowed them to escape to Egypt when Herod was coming. You see, if the wise men had gotten their eyes off the prize and got it on something else and said, you know what, this journey's taken too long. You know what, we're magi. We don't have to go on this journey. If they had put their focus somewhere else, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus may have never, ever been able to escape Herod the Great's misguided commitments that meant the death of many people. For many of us, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we need to learn from Ralphie and the three magi. We need to be creative as Ralphie was in every way and to pursue the gifts that God has given to us. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians. It says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. The other thing is simply this, and you're going to like hearing this. Don't accept others' vision for your life. I'm going to say that again. Don't accept other people's vision for your life. Embrace God's vision. Because when your eyes are clear with God, then you know what the vision has. Our last clip of the day from A Christmas Story. Ralphie has an aunt, Clara, and she has a different vision of who he is.
Ralphie, what did Aunt Clara give you? Show everybody.
I don't want to.
Ralphie, show everybody what Aunt Clara gave you.
Aunt Clara had for years labored under the delusion that I was not only perpetually 4 years old, but also a girl.
She just always gives you the nicest things, Ralphie. Oh, my. Oh, isn't that sweet? Ralph, go upstairs and try it on.
I don't want to.
Go upstairs right now and try on that present. She went to all that trouble to make it. Now, go on. While Ralphie is changing, I'm going to play Santa Claus. Ralphie, we're waiting.
Oh, come on, Mom.
Right now.
Immediately, my feet began to sweat as those two fluffy little bunnies with the blue button eyes stared sappily up at me.
Come down here so I can see you better.
I just hoped that Flick would never spot him, as the word of this humiliation could easily make life at Warren G. Harding School a veritable hell.
Oh, isn't that cute? That is the most precious thing I've ever seen in my life.
He looks like a deranged Easter bunny.
That's not Ralphie, right? That's not who he is. Aunt Clara doesn't get it. She thinks he's perpetually 4 years old and that he's a girl. That's not Ralphie. Ralphie wants a Red Ryder BB gun, not a pink bunny costume. But his mom says, no, put it on. Put it on. And his dad tells him he looks like a deranged Easter bunny. You see, it's far too often we accept who other people say we are. With Christ, you're not your past. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. You're not who others say you are or who you've been or who they think you're going to be. You're not a pink deranged Easter bunny. You're a child of the King. And that brings us to this right here. Dream big and never lose hope. You see, the old man, Scripture tells us old men will dream dreams and young men see visions. We need a good dose of that today in our world. Visions for the Lord and visions for God. We need people who see God doing something amazing. And I lied because I do have one more clip. It's a short clip, but I think it wraps all this stuff up. And this is, after all the presents had appeared to be open, something happens.
What's that over there behind the desk?
Where?
Oh, behind the desk, against the wall over there. Why don't you go check it out? Come on. Santa Claus
when Ralphie thought it had all been opened, everything was done, his father gave him the best gift of all. Just when Israel thought all was lost, God provided the greatest gift of all in his son Jesus. Just when you in your own life, that you look around and you think all hope's lost and it can't get any worse, your relationships are broken, your job's gone, your family's sick, you've lost that loved one. Just when that happens, your father gives you the best gift of all. And his name is Jesus. Who loves you. He's better than a Red Ryder BB gun. And he's right here all the time. So dream big. Dream big and never lose hope. Never, ever lose hope, because eye has not seen, ear has not heard, no mind has conceived what God the Father has prepared for those who do what? Love him. Love him. Let's stand and let's worship our God the Father. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today. God, we love you so much. We thank you that you sent to us your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you gave us the greatest gift of all, above and beyond all Red Ryder BB guns, above and beyond any present we could ever receive. We have received the greatest gift of all. God, help us to love one another and to love you. And so, God, that when we know you, you are love. And you pour out that love on us. And so, God, right now, I know there's some people around here who are feeling like Ralphie, being let down by what they put their hope and their focus and even their love in. It's left them wanting and needing. So God, I ask during this moment right now, you gear that love back to you. That you show them. You show them, Jesus, that if they were the only person here on earth, you would come and give your life for them. So that you can reconnect them with the Father. Let them receive what you have for each of us today. Let us not lose focus on the prize. Because Lord, we are tired of being in a Christmas story. We want to embrace the Christmas story where God loved so much that he gave. Be with us now as, Lord, this altar's open for anyone who wants to come and pray, for anyone who wants to do anything, and just to seek your face. We give you praise. And all God's people said, amen.
Rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, Lord. blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy.
Like a pink nightmare.
I ran into Aunt Clara back there, so.
Jackie's got a gun.
All right. So, hey, Jake did a fantastic job today, didn't he? That's awesome. God has a gift planned out for you. It's in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is so crazy. They never taught this in seminary. But just know that whatever you think God has planned for you, He has better. He has better. It's not going to get easier, but it's better because Jesus is better. Pray, pray once again. O come, Emmanuel. God with us. Amen? Have a great week. We'll see you hopefully 7:30. Have a Merry Christmas. If I don't see you, God bless. And don't shoot your eye out. Or shoot it out for Jesus.